I wanted to share a few thoughts to, in some ways, go along with Amanda's presentation today that also connects you a little bit to the trip I just got back from for Ethiopia. So I just want to do a couple minutes because I think it's fitting because much of what Amanda shared and represents in her going fits so perfectly the teaching that I took to Ethiopia to serve at Salvation Rock Church with Pastor Workna Tesfaye. And before I just share these few thoughts with you and try to tie it together with what Amanda shared, I also wanted to thank Audrey Berry, because Audrey's actually been very helpful to Amanda in this process and has given time and traveled with her in the United States and helped make the connection to the mission agencies. And so, Audrey, you were like our representative too in helping our other representative make it to the end of this, you know, experience. And so thank you so much for the time and investment you put in. When I went to, when Pastor Workin and I talked about me going and serving for a weekend conference at Salvation Rock, I had a few different things come into my mind, but I'd said to him, well, I'd done a conference last fall. And I said it was a 4-session conference, and actually I really like it. I like the material, and I could do that. And he said, great. He said, do that. And you've heard me do pieces of this presentation because it's the presentation I do with my Burger King crown, you know? And you guys have seen me do Burger King crown stuff, right? And I actually took 130 Burger King crowns with me to Ethiopia. And the teaching I do, this crown teaching that I do, that I feel like God has, you know, built into my heart and is continuing to refine in me, even through this experience, has 4 phases. And I just want to talk about the very first phase. And again, I'll relate it to Amanda's work. And it's found in Psalm 8. So if you'd look with me just for a moment to Psalm 8, I'd like to read it to you. And some of you may even recall that last summer when we met with Pentecostal Tabernacle, I was preparing, I was about a month out from the retreat I was going to teach, and so I wanted to work on some of those themes while I was preaching at their church, and so I did some of my crown stuff at Pentecostal Tabernacle. Do any of you remember that? Were you there for that? Yeah. And it's just so interesting how God links all things, or just, I don't know how the pieces come together, because Bishop Green from Pentecostal Tabernacle was also with Workna at Salvation Rock Church a month before I was. So he was there in January, and I served in February. And so it's just interesting to me how God kind of ties our communities together and allows us common experiences, and maybe there's more of a future for us with Pentecostal Tabernacle as well. You never know the ways in which God can work. But right now in Ethiopia, in a courtyard in part of Addis Ababa, yeah, there's a big poster with my face on it, like a big poster, like, I don't know, 5x12, like a big banner, on one wall of this courtyard that they set up a tent in when they're allowed to for special moments. And on the back wall is a big, big, big banner with Bishop Green on it. So Bishop Green and I are gracing the walls of this courtyard. How ironic that is. So if you look with me at Psalm 8, Psalm 8 is just such a beautiful psalm. It's a reflection of King David on God's act of creation. And here's what he says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, this psalm, you need to stay with me on, is a very optimistic psalm. It's idealistic. It's looking at God's work of creation, and it's reveling in it, but it's not really dealing with some of the down and dirty stuff that's going to follow. And in fact, when I did this teaching, I do it in 4 sessions. And in session 1, I just keep in the ideal. which David presents to us. Because David says that God's crowning of humanity over God's creation is to God's glory and praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And I invited the congregation at Salvation Rock. I said, just stay in this mode with me. Don't think about how things haven't quite worked out. Let's just think about God's design. Because David is reflecting on Genesis 1, and Genesis 1 is the blueprint that God has established for what he's going to do with this creation. This is like the architectural plans. And you know, when you have architectural plans, you unroll all the plans, and everything looks so beautiful. They have elevations of the finished property, and it looks all perfect. But if you go to a construction site, it looks like a mess. There's dirt and debris and problems and holes and problems with the city or the community you're in or whatever. So when you get into a building project, you know, you've got your beautiful plans, but then you have to go through this reality of the building project to finally realize the plan. So David is just looking at the plan of God, and he's saying, this is awesome. And in the plan of God, humanity is crowned as God's representatives. And it was very interesting to me in that when I landed in Addis, Pastor Workna, Tuesday, we had a recovery day, and then Wednesday, he took me around Addis, and Thursday, and we looked at several historic sites and museums. And I didn't know much about the history of Ethiopia, but it's deeply rooted in Christianity. I mean, just deeply, deeply, deeply rooted. And we looked particularly, he showed me some churches and palaces that were built by kings of Ethiopia in the 19th and 20th centuries in Addis. And I was just so surprised because these complexes were just like the complexes that I'd been taught about in my seminary training of the ancient world. That is, in the ancient world, they'd build a temple at the top of a hill, and then they'd build the palace for the king under that. And then there'd be gardens. And the purpose of this was to display that the God is over all things, and the king was the earthly representative of the God. And therefore, the palace was slightly lower, but connected. And in fact, when we went to museums that had these church palace complexes, they had the ancient crowns. Now, these are only going back into the late 1800s and into the 1900s. These are more recent Ethiopian history. There's more ancient king history as well, but this is what we first saw. And wouldn't you know that these crowns that you weren't allowed to take pictures of, unfortunately, all had crosses on them. They're all crowned. The crown is crowned with a cross. And the cross, of course, signifies that the king is ruling under the leadership of God, of Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is the very point of God's creation mandate or creation design. It's his creation. He's the crowning one. So he places the crown on the head of humanity because it's his authority that's the greater authority. And it was so very interesting to me. You know, I keep getting these crowns from Burger King's all over the metropolitan area, you know, collecting 20 here and 20 there. I even tell the managers, I said, I'm going to do a teaching, you know, at a retreat, or this time I said, I'm going to Ethiopia, I need a bunch of these crowns. They're like, sure, you know, take a bunch of them. And I never had really paid attention until this last round of teaching that, you know, these crowns, interestingly, have crosses on them from Burger King. After my first session, when I came back the second day, the women of the church had taken all the paper crowns I brought, and they used whiteout, and they whited out the word burger on all the crowns. I thought, that's an improvement. But the cross signifies that humanity's design is to rule under the rulership of God. And when we rule under the rulership of God, we bring heaven to earth. This is God's plan. And this is God's design, and this is what God is leading the world to, this sort of rule. And so on this first day, what I did is we had everyone come forward, and we gave them a crown, and they were allowed to fit it to their head but not put it on. And they brought their crown forward, and I had two Ethiopian pastors, Pastor Workna, and his sister, Pastor Mimi, who pastors this congregation. And everybody came down and they kneeled and they were crowned. And it was an amazingly powerful moment. And I said to them, again, staying in the mode of this first session, thinking positively about God's design, I encouraged people to think, what are the realms or the areas in which you've been given to be a king or a queen? Is it in running a school? Is it in running a family? Is it in being a student in a university or a high school? Is it being a graduate student in a lab? You know, where has God placed you? Is it working with internationals? That God has placed you in this place that he is going to rule through you. And I wanted people to think deeply about the roles and privileges God's given them. The role of a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, you know, a classmate. You know, these are all opportunities. And so, of course, with Amanda coming to us today, you know, God's given her a new kingdom, right, in which he's going to rule through her submitted life in this particular hospital setting with its patients, with its staff, with its community. What are the areas that God has called you to be a king or a queen in? That you can be the one through whom God brings his life and light. Now, I took, in this first session, I took everyone to two passages of Scripture. And I'm going to take you there very quickly. One is Deuteronomy 17. And so go ahead and turn to within your Bibles to Deuteronomy 17. And I explained to the congregation, Salvation Rock Church, that one of the things God has did in the ancient world, is that he would have literally a king or a queen, a king, who was the king over the nation, but the people were also kings and queens, but that king was supposed to be sort of the model to them, the earthly model, the one who would be the example, you know, that everyone could look to and see this king ruling under God so that they then would be also motivated and inclined and encouraged likewise in their own realms, you know, to do the same thing. And I said there's two things that in speaking about the Israelite kings that are worth noticing as we contemplate our own kind of kingship. And the first is in Deuteronomy 17, where God, through the Mosaic Law, anticipates that one day they'll have a king. And he says about that king, if you look at verse 18, we'll read the second half of this section. It says of the king, it says, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. And the first thing that a king was supposed to model and then everyone then was supposed to embrace is a life that is deeply devoted to living under the rulership of God. That the power that comes with a crown, I'll make you smile. I'll put on my crown. You know, wherever I do this, people smile. So I put it on an Ethiopian. Everyone is smiling and giggling. You know what I mean? And I said, I know. So would you get a crown? Crown signifies authority and power. But here's the thing. If you know the story of humanity, you know that power and authority typically corrupt. They cause us, they work something in us that is not God's intention. And so God, in calling the king to have a copy of the law, he is supposed to write the copy. He was supposed to really own this submission to God, right? And it was supposed to be a part of his daily life that he would be just reminding himself that he's not above everyone else. When Amanda first came with us, one of the things that impressed me about Amanda is that when I found out, and I was a little surprised myself with my own biases, when I found out she was an orthopedic surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, like I just think of that as being like people 6'3 and about 210, you know? doing orthopedic surgery, you know, just, you know, bone crushers, you know, and I'm like, wow, Amanda's an orthopedic surgeon, and she's working with our children. She's at the pantry. There were even times at the pantry I felt like saying, hey, everybody, do you know this is like an orthopedic surgeon from our church right here? Carrying bags of groceries, just helping people, just serving, you know. That's why I felt like I could pray so honestly, such a heart for service, and write recommendations for her so genuinely, because I got to see someone who just goes about serving others in this beautiful way, resisting the temptation to let the crown go to your head, right? Because you've been given certain skills, abilities, and opportunities that in some way sets you above people. But you don't take the bait. You stay submitted to God. I, as a pastor, am always trying to lead you in this way to God. Because if we can stay before God rightly, then I think we can handle the responsibility and privilege of our human existence in a way that will bring honor and glory to God. And we'll say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Then the second passage I took them to, it was in Psalm 72, which we'll get to sometime as we're reading through our Psalms. I think we're on 49 today, if you're reading a psalm a day with me through these months. But if you look at Psalm 72, it's a coronation psalm. You'll notice even this week, I think Psalm 47 we read, spoke about God being king over all the earth. There's lots of kingship. The Bible's full of kingship language. And you won't miss it. You know, it'll be fresh in your mind when you read it, and you'll see these great examples. But Psalm 72 says, endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon through all generations. May he be like rain falling down on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick his dust. May the kings of Tarshish and distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. And so here in this psalm, we see that the charge given to the king over all the people, the king of kings, so to speak, among the people of Israel, is to do the very thing that Amanda just mentioned in her report. It's to care for those who are most in need. It's to give yourself on behalf of others. It's to live a life of love, because God's design for humanity is that we be like God, that is, we exercise love. And love goes to the other. So when you think about the kingdoms or realms that God has given you your crown in, then you also think about who in my kingdom or my realm is someone that I can lift up, someone I can come under, someone I can help or support, because that is the call of kingship. And it's interesting, when they study the ancient Near East and you find the societies around Israel, their kings were also charged with the same truth, because God's truth was deep in humanity, and people knew that the king was supposed to protect those who were most vulnerable in society. He was not to abuse the power and take the privilege for himself. And that's true in each of our individual lives. In whatever little sense in which you feel like you've gotten a kingdom, it's a place of responsibility to love and lift. It's never a place for you to step on someone to raise yourself up. And that's what it means to be crowned by God. And in many ways, as we send Amanda, that's the joy we have, right? That we're sending a queen, a crowned queen who's going to serve the king. Now, Amanda's like the rest of us, and she's going to have some days where she thinks her coworkers are a pain in the neck and everything else. You know, we know that. And she's going to repent, just like we do. And, it's not this perfect world, but it's a perfect idea, and it's one we strive for and that we seek to live out. And part of the gifting that we have in all of this is taking part in this through our prayers, but also through financial support. And we're not taking an offering or anything like that today, but we've got the website where you can sign on, and hopefully we're going to pray and see what God raises up from our midst to like be part of this service, this kingly service to a people in a land in which this sort of need is much less addressed than it is in a nation like ours. So we can take from our abundance, right, and say, we've got what we need, and now we're gonna share our Amanda with you. We're going to share our medical training with you. We're going to share out of the abundance of our finances with you at Tenwick Hospital, because that will glorify God over all the earth, because we'll live a life of love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your call upon Amanda's life, but we also know, Father, that you're not just calling Amanda. You got a call on each and every person in this room, in this building. Father, you've got actually a call on each and every individual in the world. But those who have submitted themselves to you, who have bowed the knee before Jesus as their king and their example, all the more, Father, these are the ones through whom you are now free to work and to demonstrate to the world the true nature of kingship, of service, and of love. And so as Amanda goes, Father, as a representative of your people here and in Houston and Pittsburgh and in North Carolina, all the places, all the communities she's been part of, Father, we're just so pleased that we can be part of the movement, the experience, the work that you're doing through her. And not just through her, but through your people everywhere in making known how great you are in humble love and service to humanity. And may that be just realized through not only Amanda's life, but each of our lives. Father, through the words we speak and the actions we take and the thoughts that we allow, may, Father, you be exalted in the earth through us, your people, according to your crowning design. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's stand.